This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Latino.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now, if you want a chance to win tickets to MSU football, give us a call at 517-353-5000, 517-353-5000 for your chance to win tickets. We'll give the tickets away tomorrow right here on AM 870. But right now, we're going to talk about the MSU football game coming up against Boise State, coming up on Friday night with Brian Calloway from the Lansing State Journal. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, not too bad. How are you doing?
Hey, doing pretty good and just getting ready for this game. Are you excited? Because this is going to be your first game, won't it, this weekend? Or as a reporter?
Yes. It will be my first game covering MSU football aside from the spring game. So I'm very much looking forward to it. It's a high-caliber opponent coming into Spartan Stadium, so it should be a pretty good game.
Yeah, now, I know we were both over there talking with some of the players last night. What was your take on some of the players you talked to?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, everyone's just kind of, you know, tired of hitting each other and, you know, ready to get going. And, you know, the game's so close right now that, you know, everyone's just kind of got that excitement to them and is kind of anxious to get going. And, I mean, even just this afternoon talking to some of the coaches again, they seem to echo that same sentiment.
Yes, I have to admit, you do get tired of beating up on each other and talking trash to each other, but it seems like it's going to be, they are really competitive, and it seems like they've got basically all the positions settled, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's still, you know, the safety spot, you know, where you got Jarius Jones and Curtis Drummond could go there. So, I mean, there's that position, and then, you know, you still got Tyler Hoover, James Kittredge, and Mekhijah Reynolds battling for that one spot on the defensive line as well, too. So other than that, I mean, most of the position battles seem to have settled themselves out. So,
yeah, and they're relatively healthy. I mean, I know they've had a few injuries, but overall they're pretty healthy, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very healthy. I mean, there's a couple of injuries on the offensive line, you know, with Blake Treadwell and Skylar Berkland, who probably will not see action at all on Friday. But other than that, for the most part, I mean, the team is relatively healthy coming out of camp, and, you know, that's a very good thing heading into the season and a tough opener like Boise State.
Yes, that's the thing that I noticed. It seemed like they were confident, but they weren't overconfident about Boise State. They know it's going to be a good game, and they seem pretty confident about that.
Yes, I mean, one of the main things is, you know, kind of the MSU defense kind of preparing for that Boise State offense that is a little tricky. I mean, they run multiple formations. It's kind of like a combination between a spread and a pro style. So that offense can be a little tricky to handle. And it sounds like, you know, during practices that, you know, the MSU offense has kind of thrown two huddles at the defense just to kind of help them prepare and kind of get adjusted to what they might see come Friday night.
Yes, that's the one thing about the first game. You can prepare as much as you want viewing film from last year, but the bottom line is you really don't know what to expect in this first game. I know Boise's they're known for throwing their trick plays at you, so you got to be ready for some type of trick play sometime during the game.
Oh yeah, definitely. And plus, you know, Boise State has a new starting quarterback. You know, we got Joe Southwick replacing Kellen Moore, who, you know, ended his career as the all-time wins leader in NCAA history for a quarterback and with the best winning percentage. So, I mean, the offense is going to, you know, have a little bit of a – I mean, it's going to be the same, but, you know, Joe Southwick isn't the same as Kellen Moore. And from my understanding, you know, Joe Southwick is a lot more mobile and athletic than Kellen Moore was.
Yes, I've heard the same thing, except maybe he doesn't throw a course as good as Kellen Moore did. But, you know, he's got a lot of quality, that speed factor, where he's a lot faster than what Kellen Moore is. So he's got his advantages that Kellen Moore didn't have. And I know they don't know how quick they are. They're believing that they're going to be faster. But, boy, until they get them out there actually on the field, you know, there's no way of telling how quick this Boise State team is.
Exactly. And, I mean, I think Joe Southwick is pretty much in exactly the same situation as Andrew Maxwell, where, you know, both have kind of sat behind those established starters the past 3 years. And, both are coming in and, you know, getting their first starting, their first game as a starter on Friday. And, you know, they're, you know, both, you know, kind of getting that first real experience aside from, you know, being the backup.
Yes, and the thing is with Boise, they had so few returners last year, that leaves a lot of unknowns for Michigan State, what to expect from them, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, one of the advantages that Michigan State has with Boise, though, is, you know, Boise State, there were a lot of games that, you know, they pretty big. So, I mean, there is tape on a lot of those reserves because they did get chances to play last year with, you know, Boise State, you know, winning games by a bigger margin.
Yes, that's for sure. So we should have a very competitive game for two teams that, you know, they're both highly ranked. That's what really makes this an attractive opening because both teams are ranked in the top 25 this year. So it should be a very competitive game, shouldn't it?
Oh, yes, it should. I mean, you can't sleep on Boise just with what they've done. I mean, I know D'Antonio mentioned it during one of his first press conferences this fall camp, and he called Boise State a giant killer. And, you know, the past couple of years, they've opened up with some big-time opponents. You know, Georgia last year, they've opened up with Oregon in the past, and, you know, they've gone and won these games. So definitely it's going to be a very good game.
Yeah, how much are you concerned the fact that, you know, Coach D'Antonio mentioned how they've only lost six games over the last 5 years. Should that be a big concern to them? They just haven't had that many teams beat them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Boise State is a team that knows how to win. Chris Peterson is an excellent coach. I mean, he's got a creative coaching staff. They're great offensive minds. So, man, Boise State is a program that knows how to win. Their offense, their tricky offense with the multiple formations, I mean, that helps them. That's helped them have tremendous success over the years. And, I mean, 73-6, I mean, you don't accomplish that by not being a good program.
Oh, that's for sure. And of course, the Mountain West Conference, that hasn't got a lot of questions or, you know, a lot of accolades, of course, and they'll be leaving the Mountain West after this year. So how do you view Boise State after, you know, winning all these games, even though they haven't played the best of competition? They beat some of the big teams, of course, but most of their wins have been against a little bit lower level competition.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true about them, and that's why, you know, you could say that their record is deceiving, but at the same time, they do go out here, and when they are thrown against these, you know, top-notch teams, they go out there and win. I mean, they beat Arizona State in their bowl game last year. I mean, they beat an Oregon twice in the past, really 4 or 5 seasons here. So, I mean, yes, they do beat up on, you know, these teams in the Mountain West Conference, but at the same time, you know, when they are thrown against these teams from the major conferences, they win. And I believe they've won 8 of their last 9 games against teams from BCS conferences. So that's throughout Chris Peterson's tenure there. So that's pretty impressive.
Okay, got a caller for you. We've got Todd on the line for you. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Excited for football, like I imagine everybody else is.
Yep.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask your gentleman there. I'm slightly concerned about the offensive line and the running game. I thought they did an exceptional job last year with pass protection. I don't know where they ranked nationally or in conference, but in general, it's not as though Kirk Cousins didn't get hit or he didn't get knocked down, but I thought they did a very good job of that. But, and again, I don't have stats, but the running game was a disappointment, certainly in some games. They ran the ball very well against Michigan, but I thought that their inability to run the ball really, really hurt them against Notre Dame. I think that's one of the primary reasons, other than turnovers, that they lost. What do you think this team has for goals as far as the running game? And, I'm not saying, you know, an exact number of yardage or whatever, but to me, I have confidence in this offensive line. They have a lot of experience. I think they're going to be a good offensive line. But we all know what will help a young quarterback better than anything else is a running game. And I think Le'Veon Bell is going to have a good year. But how confident do you feel this coaching staff is that they're going to be able to run the ball when they really need to? Thanks a lot.
I think the coaching staff is very confident that they're going to be able to run the ball. I mean, it was asked today of Dan Roschar at a press conference less than an hour ago if he thought that Le'Veon Bell might see major carries like Javon Ringer did, and he said that, you know, the offense is going to be more balanced. But I mean, with the experience they have coming back in the offensive line, I mean, they're very confident in the ability to run the ball, and Le'Veon Bell is going to get, you know, plenty of chances and plenty of carries to go out there and, you know, do what he can do. And, I mean, they're counting on him a lot, especially, you know, he can take a lot of pressure off that inexperienced passing game with Maxwell and, you know, some of those receivers that are inexperienced. So, I mean, yeah, the offensive line and the running game, that's something that the coaching staff is very confident in. And yes, they're also very confident in Jack Allen, who was a redshirt freshman that will be making his first start on Friday against Boise State. He's in there for Blake Treadwell, who's out a couple weeks with an injury. So, yeah, they're very confident.
Yes, and it seems to me, as well as they're confident about their passing game, even though we know they don't have much experience, but it seems they're very confident about that passing game, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are. I mean, people forget, I mean, even though Maxwell hasn't played, he's been in the system. I mean, this is his fourth year in the system. You know, he sat behind, you know, Kirk Cousins the last 3 years and kind of been, you know, been able to see how things work. So he's beyond ready for this opportunity, and he's going to excel. And I mean, Dave Warner pretty much gave him a very high remarks when he said a couple weeks ago that he expects Maxwell to pick up right where Kirk Cousins left off.
Yeah, because when we were with D'Antonio yesterday, you know, I asked him about Maxwell when he was there. How ready is he is to can he pick up audibles? Does he know the audible system? And he was very confident. I mean, he seems like he really knows the system. He knows all the audibles when they need to make changes in plays. He's able to, and confident that he'll be able to pull that off and cause some audibles. So it just seems like he's very relaxed and ready to go for Friday night.
Oh, yeah, I kind of get that same sense that, you know, he's relaxed, ready to go. And, I mean, I believe Warner also said, too, that, you know, he's picked up, you know, their entire system. You know, he's one of the fastest quarterbacks that's come in and kind of picked up the whole offensive system that they have. So, yeah, there's a lot of confidence there. Maxwell's got that, you know, calm confidence about him. And, you know, he's definitely ready to go. He's definitely ready to, you know, lead this team.
Yeah, so we should look for a very confident and Spartan team, but If they do get beat by Boise State, how do you think Boise State will be able to beat them?
I think it will be, you know, the trick plays. I mean, if you look back at that Fiesta Bowl, I mean, that's one of the games that is the most memorable about Boise State, and kind of, you know, when they first really jumped on the scene as, you know, one of those schools that's a giant killer, when they, you know, were able to successfully execute that hook and ladder, and then you got the Statue of Liberty for the game-winning two-point conversion there in overtime. So, I mean, if Boise State's able to, you know, catch, you know, MSU off balance and, you know, kind of sneak up with some of these trick plays, I mean, that might be a way that they can beat them.
Well, you know, Michigan State has had a lot of luck with their trick plays over the last few years as well. So it could be a game of trick plays between both teams.
Oh, yeah, you know, both teams have a knack to, you know, pull out those trick plays in the past and have been successful.
Yeah, so it just should be a fun game Friday night. Hopefully the fans won't, if it's closer, they won't be sweating too much if it is a close game. I think the Michigan State's going to win. I saw in the paper today, you think Michigan State's going to win. So, you know, I think we both think they're going to win. But, you know, it could be a little bit closer than either one of us think the game should be.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's going to be a close game regardless. I just think for the fact that, you know, the past season openers that Boise has had against these, you know, top tier teams from BCS conferences, I mean, two of them were at neutral sites, and the other one against Oregon that they had was at home for them. So this is the first, you know, one of those top tier opponents that they're facing on the road in one of those season openers. So, I mean, I think that definitely will make a difference. You know, the Spartans have had success in night games at Spartan Stadium as well, too. So, I mean, I think all those factors, you know, kind of win this game in the favor of Michigan State.
Yes, I think that as well, because Michigan State they're really catching Boise State at the perfect time. I mean, they catch them when they have to make a lot of changes offensively and defensively. They lost a lot of starters from last year. So this should be a good game for Michigan State. I said, boy, at the season opener, I wouldn't want to play them like if this was game 6 or 7. But in the opener, I think they're ready for Boise.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're catching them at a time when they're also breaking in a starting a new quarterback as well, too. And Chris Peterson said on a conference call for the Mountain West Conference the other day that he certainly would prefer not to have his opener against Michigan State. But, I mean, obviously those games, the schedules are kind of made well in advance of time. So, you know, he's got what he's got, and, you know, that he's going to try to make the most of the situation.
Okay. Hey, Brian, I want to thank you for joining me. It's a pleasure to talk with you. I know we'll be talking again during the season, so it's good to have you on, buddy, and we'll have you back on again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Brian Callaway from the Lansing State Journal. The time is 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Isaac beats the Romneys to Tampa. Ron Paul convenes a counter-convention, and RNC Chair Reince Priebus officially opens the proceedings. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin will join us next. Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather forecast. It'll be 80 degrees for a high with sunny skies today. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, a high of 88, sunny and breezy for Thursday, partly sunny and 91 for a high Friday. It's good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather forecast. It'll be 80 degrees for a high with sunny skies today. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, a high of 88, sunny and breezy for Thursday, partly sunny and 91 for a high Friday.
And give us a call.
It's good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather forecast. It'll be 80 degrees.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to have another guest coming up shortly, Chris Solari from the Lansing State Journal as well, another reporter, and talk about him, about how Michigan State will fare Friday night. We're less than, but a little bit more than 48 hours, actually, from game time. So everyone's around here is excited about the game. And then, of course, you've got the other game coming up Saturday that people will be excited about as well. Alabama playing Michigan. It should be another good game. So the Big Ten, if they can somehow both Michigan and Michigan State can win these opening games, it certainly would be a feather in the cap of the Big Ten. You know, we need something to get the Big Ten very confident and looking very good here. So those two games will certainly lead the Big Ten, and it puts a feather in the Big Ten cap if they both can win. I don't know how they feel if they split, but let's ask Chris Solari if they split. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Great, Earl. How you doing today?
Okay. Hey, if Michigan State wins or Michigan State loses and Michigan wins or vice versa, how do you think that's going to help the Big Ten? Say, do you think they both need to win to help make the Big Ten look good on a national scale?
Well, I think on Michigan's standpoint, they just need to make it a competitive game, you know, and let the chips fall where they may. I mean, a lot of people think that they're going to get blown out in this game. I'd probably say I fall in that camp a little bit more just because of the way Nick Saban is in terms of running score up and preparing and his distaste for Michigan. But if Michigan can stay in the game, and I think that says a lot and speaks volumes for them and for their hopes for winning a Big Ten title and for the power and strength of the conference. Michigan State, on the other hand, I think they almost have to win and maybe even win a little bit bigger than some people think. Just, you know, there's a lot of new parts in Boise State, a lot of new parts of Michigan State as well. But, you know, people have talked, including the coaches, including the media, about how much depth Michigan State has on both sides of the ball and how there may or may not be a drop-off at certain positions. So I think, you know, Michigan, especially being at home, Michigan State has to win this game, I would think. And, you know, what the score may be, you know, I think that's kind of inconsequential. But I do think that, you know, if they are able to defensively shut down Boise State, it would make a heck of a statement in a national scope.
Oh yes, it could. You know, that could happen. That's what we're looking at. It could be a shutout for Michigan State. But the thing is, we just know so little about Boise State, and we have a lot of unknowns about Michigan State. We have a lot of new starters there, so it's going to be a lot of unknowns in this game, isn't it?
Yeah, especially on Boise State side, where you see a lot of new assistant coaches and
and they got a new quarterback, and they don't have a lot back on their defense, especially in their front lines. On the defense and offensive lines, they lose a considerable amount when Michigan State returns a lot. And that's, you know, you talk to any football head, and they'll tell you how much the games are won up front. But Boise State presents such an interesting and unique challenge compared to a lot of those other programs, simply because they use speed, they use deception, they use a lot of different formations. It's just, you know, it's I think a lot of it will come down to Michigan State's staff ability to adapt on the fly, which, you know, when you look at what Boise State may have to do, might be the same, but where's the continuity on their staff when you're changing coordinator, you're changing position coaches? So, I mean, I've got Michigan State winning 24-10. Yeah, I believe that's what I predicted, and, you know, I kind of stand by that. I think that Michigan State can really come out, and even if they do that, they make a showing, I think.
Yes, I agree with you. I think it's going to be somewhere in that area. I think I got a little bit higher, like 30 to 10, something like that. Could be a shutout. I mean, I think Michigan State's defense is good enough to shut them out. But, of course, you know, when you have in that first game, there are so many unknowns. It's really pretty difficult to predict it, even though we have to do that every year. But it's pretty difficult to do that, even though you know, both teams are going to be good. I mean, Boise State has a good reputation. Maybe they won't be as good this year as they have been in years past because of all the new parts they got to plug in.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And, you know, part of the reason why I've had Michigan State scoring so low is because we just don't know what we're going to see out of the offense
right
yet. I mean, we struggled to run the ball last year, but they have so much veteran experience between the line and the running back. They obviously lost a lot with Kirk Cousins and all the receivers they lost. I mean, three guys with Nichols, Cunningham, and Martin right there. They're some of the best receivers in the program's history, all in one group. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't mean necessarily that they can't score that. It's so unknown. I mean, when you run into a situation like this, when you've got two teams with two new quarterbacks and you know, really trying to mold the offenses to their talents versus the guys that were behind that, you know, ahead of them last year. I think, you know, it's so much to see on Friday that I think that we've all built up to this point where it's really just get it here. Just get it here so we can see.
Yeah, see, you know, one area I really want to see is how good that Boise State defense is, or the rebuilt Boise State defense, because all they got coming back is the two cornerbacks. And they say they've got some good linemen and linebackers, but obviously we don't know. It'll be good to see. And that's what I want to see. How good is the Boise State defense? And will they be able to slow down Le'Veon Bell and the Michigan State running game?
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing is Boise State's defense is very similar to Michigan State's running game last year in that it struggled. And, you know, you might have – and they have less back. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how an untested line on Boise State handles that punishment of Michigan State's big guys up front.
Yes, and when we look at that, let's look at that Michigan-Alabama game for a minute. We know Michigan's got a lot of untested player, a very young team, but they've gotten you know, a lot of high accolades for this season from people around the state. Think that Michigan's going to be a very good, basically based off what they did last year.
Yeah, between what they did last year and having Denard Robinson back, and he's such an electric player and charismatic personality. I think that, you know, some of those expectations are firmly on his shoulders, and I mean that literally too, because he needs to show the ability to pass the ball, which last year and the year before he struggled to do. He struggled to consistently throw the ball downfield and make connections with his receivers. I mean, even those games against Michigan State, how many times has he overthrown receivers or underthrown receivers that really cost him in those games against the Spartans? You know, against Alabama, I don't think you have that kind of luxury to miss fire like that. You really don't, with the amount of speed they've got in their back end and their secondary. And I think that, you know, when it comes to chasing Denard around, I mean, there's a game plan. There's a game plan in place when you look at what Michigan State's done in terms of just bottling him up from the front seven and cutting off his running lanes. And don't think that Nick Saban hasn't watched a lot of those films.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and his coaches, some of Kirby Smart was here during the off season to get some info from Pat Narduzzi and how they could combat Denard Robinson. And just about a lot of teams have come in to talk to Michigan State about that and how they contained Denard last year. And maybe they can do the same thing, or you might have to do it differently because supposedly Denard is a better passer than he was last year.
And I think we heard that going into last year as well, and still saw some of those things. I mean, there's so much bluster at this time of the year when you're just breaking camp, and you know everybody's been playing against their own teammates, and everybody knows the tendencies of each other. And you know, when it comes to the live bullets, as Mark D'Antonio likes to say, that's where you find out a lot more. I mean, you know, you see in the first couple weeks really what a team's going to be made of for the stretch run for the Big Ten title. And, you know, Michigan could go in with a couple losses and still be a very strong competitor for the Big Ten championship.
Yes. There's another team that – how do you see the Big Ten overall, the Leaders and Legends division? Some people think that Purdue can be might be a dark horse in their division and pull some upsets. You know, they might surpass Wisconsin in that division. How do you see the other division? And do you see any dark horses other than, say, maybe a Purdue or somebody else?
Well, I'm still not sure that Purdue is any better than the third best team in their side of the division. You know, especially when you look at Wisconsin returning Monty Ball. I mean, he's going to be a front runner for the Heisman Trophy, and you see that what Ohio State has, and with Urban Meyer coming in and trying to manipulate and move his pieces around and get him where he wants to go. I mean, they're obviously out of the title equation, as is Penn State. You know, Penn State's such a wild card as well because, I mean, their offense wasn't that good before a lot of those transfers happened. And, you know, you lose Silas Red. You know, Purdue obviously returns the big quarterbacks that they've got. I mean, they've got a lot of experience at quarterback coming back. Do I think they can be a dark horse? Yeah, I do. They're one of those teams that's you know, there's so many wild cards on that side, especially when you take out two of those teams in the equation and you kind of cut the competitive balance a little bit. I mean, I do think that when you're looking at who's going to be the best team in that division, the best team in that division might not be able to go to the Big Ten championship game because they're on probation. So, I mean, I think Purdue's got as good a chance as anybody to kind of supplant Wisconsin as that. But I still think that Wisconsin's a front runner.
Yes, that Wisconsin team should be pretty good again this year. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. We're talking with Chris Salai from the Lansing State Journal, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Chris, when we look at Michigan State coming in this year's Big Ten race, a lot of people got them headed up their division, or a lot of people have actually got Michigan winning that division on their side. So how do you see that division in the Big Ten? Do you think Michigan State, even though they've got to go down to Michigan and play, do you think that they can still win that division? Both teams honestly have a tough schedule.
Well, I think it's a three-team race. I mean, I think I have Nebraska winning it, as a matter of fact, because there are so many coin flip games when you look at those interdivision games.
Yes.
You know, Michigan Wisconsin game is obviously on the other side of the bracket, but Michigan State follows that up against Nebraska at home. So, I mean, you know, they're playing at Spartan Stadium this year after Nebraska really just ran over them last year. And that's to me, a coin flip kind of game. And I think that, you know, that's one of those ones that I think is actually going to be a big determiner of who wins that division. I think that, you know, as well as the Michigan game, it's another coin flip game for me. I mean, you know, I think right now I've got Michigan State going 10-2 overall, but still missing out on the Big Ten title game with the loss to Nebraska. But again, that game's a coin flip game. Michigan's a coin flip game. I've got them beating Michigan. But, I mean, you know, let's say Michigan wins that game. I mean, you know, we were talking today, some of the reporters, and, you know, there's so many games that you could see teams going from maybe being a perfect in their division or one loss in the Big Ten to maybe losing three or four games. I mean, it's that the competitive balance is there, especially when you look at the schedules, the way that they align this year. You know, it's going to make for a very competitive Big Ten this year, I think, on both sides. You know, and like I said, even taking out Ohio State and Penn State from being able to move on into postseason competition, I think that that you know, they're wild cards in terms of disrupting that, because you have an Ohio State team. Michigan State has to play another coin flip game. I've got, you know, but I've got Michigan State winning that one in a close one. So, I mean, so many variables, Earl. I mean, it's you know, especially it's hard. There are many years when you can kind of map it out and say, okay, these are the two clear best teams in the conference. I think that there's at least, you know, 4 to 6 teams in that equation this year, which, I mean, that's what they've tried to do with adding Nebraska. I think that's the thing that the Big Ten was hoping for, to get a little more competitive, get to boost the conference stock and make these games a little bit more competitive like the SEC. And, I mean, you know, I've got Wisconsin beating Nebraska in the Big Ten title game. That's and going back to the Rose Bowl. But, again, it's one of those things where we'll see, you know, come October, you know, in late October, we'll get a clearer picture of exactly where everything is.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that the old days of the Big Ten with the Big Two and the Little Eight is over. Those days are long gone. I mean, Ohio State and Michigan will still be good, but they won't be as dominant as they used to be.
No, I don't think so. And, I mean, at least in the interim, I mean, because you can't really predict the future and the way kids' mindsets are when they start committing here, there, or anywhere else. But, you know, when it went down to the 85 scholarships, I think that started to erode it a little bit and, you know, kind of got to the point where we're at right now where you do see Michigan State coming up and getting good recruits. And, you know, there's only so many guys that each program can sign. You can't oversign like the SEC. So you can't really stockpile talent the way you used to in the Big Ten, which has definitely helped the competitive balance. But, you know, maybe long, you know, big picture, maybe has given them a little bit of a hit on the SEC and made that SEC, you know, perception-wise, so much considered so much stronger.
Yes, that's for sure. So yeah, we have a very interesting, potentially a very interesting football season coming up, Chris, for the Big Ten and for, you know, watching the teams outside the Big Ten and how well Michigan State competes within the Big Ten. I mean, I think that they could be like you. I think they could be a 10-win team, but also see they could also be an 8-win team. I mean, the schedule is that balanced, and they might lose a few more games than we think they might lose this year.
Yeah, or they can win more than we think, too. I mean, that's the crazy thing about replacing the guys that they're replacing. I mean, the coaches keep talking about how Andrew Maxwell is farther ahead in the curve than Kirk Cousins was at this time and how happy they are with his progress and how excited they are for him to start leading this team on the field. But, you know, again, we can't really gauge that until the opponent's wearing a different colored jersey. We really can't. I mean, you know, it's and not yellow ones, not the practice yellows when guys are hurt. So, I mean, when I think this Boise game on Friday is going to give us a nice barometer because Boise, you know, even though they're so young and untested across the board, I mean, Chris Peterson brought in talent year after year and replenished that program from when Dan Hawkins had it and continued to push Boise State forward, which is, you know, what Mark D'Antonio is trying to do here. You don't want to be just a two-hit wonder. And he's kind of talked about that, how sustaining the success is sometimes harder than getting to the success. And I think when, you know, that's one thing that this program has tried to do for many years. I mean, you looked at the late 90s when Nick Saban was here and started to get the program back in prominence. And then obviously Bobby, when he took over, had that one successful year, and then there was a drop-off. And then John L. took over, started, and stopped again. I mean, so it's just, you know, Mark Antonio's had the program going in an upward direction this year, and it's amazing that we can sit here and talk about an 8-win season possibly being a letdown. I mean, it's not that long ago that just getting over 500 was an accomplishment and getting to some sort of bowl game. So, I mean, you know, credit Mark Antonio for what he's done. And, you know, again, we'll see how they make that next step and what that next step is, you know, starting Friday.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, Chris, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. We'll be talking a lot more during the season. It's a long season, but it's getting started, and hopefully it'll get off to a good start coming up on Friday.
Absolutely. It'll be good to write things that aren't the same stories we've been writing since the spring. So
yep.
You know, finally get something live and something fresh and something new.
Okay. Talk to you later, Chris. Okay, yep, bye-bye. And that's Chris Solari from the Lansing State Journal. The time is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
You've got dinner table discussion, water cooler chat, even pillow talk. But how often are you part of the national conversation? I'm Neil Conan. Raise your voice on everything from the news of the day to the twists and turns of culture and history on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
We have a sunny forecast with a high of 80 degrees expected today. It'll be clear overnight and our low will be 55. We start a warming trend tomorrow, 88 for a high, sunny and breezy tomorrow, and partly sunny on Friday with the high reaching 91. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR in East Lansing. And we'd love to hear from you, love to talk to you each and every day. So just give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And hopefully we're going to have one more guest for you coming up shortly. And we do. We have our good friend Fred Heumann on the line. So let's bring in Fred. Fred, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing great. So I know you're excited for the game coming up Friday night. You have to downplay your I know how much you love baseball. You might have to put baseball on the back burner.
I don't know. White Sox and Tigers Friday night. You're right. I am excited. Big three-game series with the Sox. Battle for first place. Yes, indeed. It's August. It's baseball season, Earl.
Yeah, it is.
But it's also football season with the Spartans opening Friday night. To me, I really love football. No, all kidding aside, I really love football. My favorite sport is baseball.
Yep.
My second favorite sport is baseball. And my third favorite sport is baseball. And then football is next. It really is. But I'm ready for football in, like, September. I can do without football in 90 degrees in August. But it is here. It's going to be a billion degrees Friday night, at least during the day. I hope it cools off at night. I guess the rain's going to hold off till Saturday. But Boise State and Michigan State open the season. This is good as openers go. Usually it's a cupcake coming in, and Boise shouldn't be a cupcake. And we have, in concert with that, our annual preseason special tonight on WLNS TV6, 7 to 8 o'clock, countdown to kickoff, it's called. Kevin Gale will join me in studio. He'll try to keep me in line. And we have a whole lot of stuff in this. This isn't an X's and O's thing. We don't diagram offenses and defenses. We get more into personalities. Kevin has a couple of features, one on Andrew Maxwell, another one on the brothers Bulla, Max and Riley, as they keep the MSU Bulla name alive. I'll go one-on-one with Mark D'Antonio and Le'Veon Bell. We got a lot of stuff in this that are kind of behind the scenes and a little extra access than we normally get. And I'm calling you because, or I had you call me, just because you like talking to Uncle Fred. And
sure.
Because the people don't think, well, at 7 o'clock we got to watch. So I'm trying to get people to put it in their phones, set their DVRs. It will be online tomorrow, but you know, make a note of trying to watch this. Not because it's me or us, but if you like Spartan football, I think you'll want to see this.
Yes, that should be great, Fred. Yeah, because, you know, I will try to get home and watch it if I can. I know I'll probably still be here, but I can watch it here while I'm at work.
Well,
so.
What do you got? You got a summer basketball practice you got to go to?
Nope, not today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, try to get home and watch it, or, you know, if you get a chance to watch it online. That's what I'm trying to get people to do, because if you like Spartan football, I think you'll want to see this.
Okay. Hey, we got a caller for you. So a guy called in as soon as you called. So
caller for me?
For you. So let's bring in. Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
Okay.
You taking care of business again.
Trying.
Great. Hey, my question is just about the transfer quarterback up at Wisconsin. What's the deal with that? What are your thoughts on that rule? And how do they keep doing it? Can't they grow quarterbacks in Wisconsin?
Well, they have to graduate. So if they graduate then and they still have eligibility left, you can transfer to another school. And that's what both the Wisconsin guys have done, Fred. They graduated from that school, and they were eligible to play somewhere else. And this kid has 2 years left. So
he's got 2 years left.
Yeah, he's got 2 years left, yes.
I would say the one they got last year worked out pretty well, Russell
Wilson. Yes, he did.
He's going to start on Sundays now.
Yep. I mean, he's really, and for a short guy like me, he's really impressed him out there in Seattle.
Yeah, he was pretty good, and I was a little surprised he walked right into an NFL camp and was able to start. But I thought he was something special in college, and
he was.
You know, I understand what he's saying. It seems like a little bit, I don't know, not dirty, a little conniving to bring in quarterback. But you know, it's nothing against the rules. It's legal, and that's just what they've elected to do the last 2 years.
Yeah, I just wondered if they had somebody on the bench to cover if he got whacked or something. You know,
well, you know, they always do. Each team has three or four quarterbacks, so there's always some quarterbacks on the team. You don't know whether you get to see them or not, and obviously they don't think that the quarterbacks they have there are as good as this guy. They had a freshman come in, but they certainly don't think the freshman is ready to take over yet. So, you know, we'll just have to watch and see if the other guys, if they get a chance, if they have injuries, then we'll get a chance to see some of the other guys play.
Okay, I just was curious about that rule. I never quite figured out how they managed that.
Okay,
like Fred said, it sounds almost shady, but it's legal.
Yeah, it is. It's okay. Illegal. Hey, thank you. Yeah, Fred, that's something. I mean, yeah, we've seen that. I mean, it's Wisconsin has done it, and a couple other schools have taken advantage of that rule. You know, the transfer a quarterback in if they think it helped their team, and Wisconsin was one of those teams that fell short the other day. And Monty Ball really, Brian Wilson, it really worked out for them.
Russell Wilson, right.
He really worked.
Yeah, it really did, and he was special, and I'm kind of anxious to see him in the NFL, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it, and to see how, you know, he's coming from Wisconsin, and you know, some of the quarterbacks that Michigan State have done pretty well, and now we've got another one coming in. So I'm sort of excited to see him in this last exhibition game.
Yeah, Andrew Maxwell, I am too, because you know, I didn't know him at all. We did a few interviews with him, but now in the last month, getting to know him, he's really a dynamite kid.
Yeah.
Just as smart as a whip, just a nice, polite kid, says all the right things, carries himself the right way, entertaining guy to talk to. So you just, you know, I don't root for teams. I root for people, and I'm rooting for this kid because I think he really gets it. Now the proof is in the pudding. You know, they're either going to be mad about Max because they're mad with excitement, or they're mad at Max. That's the quarterback position, and if he plays well, I say this is going to be Maxwell's house, Spartan Stadium. So we'll see. That's the nature of the position, but I think this kid can handle anything.
Yeah, I think he can too. It'll be exciting and be very good to watch him coming up Friday night. And I'm excited for this game at Friday night. And you know, we've both seen those new scoreboards. That's really going to be exciting when they show them off on Friday night. I know you'll probably have them in your special, but boy, that's going to be an exciting atmosphere coming up on Friday.
Yeah, we're actually doing an interview right now with Mark Hollis as we speak. It's kind of the last touch on our special about the new boards in the stadium. And, you know, they're practicing at night this week, and people that have driven by have said, when they've seen the boards before the portable lights are in, they say those boards light up the whole stadium. You don't even need lights.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be exciting. Well, Fred, I'm looking forward for the show tonight, 7 o'clock tonight on WLNS TV. So it should be exciting for you and for all the people here in mid-Michigan to watch the special and get ready for Michigan State season.
And Earl, if you're running late, you'll miss me. That's okay. Kevin's on around 7:10, so you'll still be entertained, okay?
Okay, sounds good,
right,
my friend.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's our good friend Fred Heumann right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, let's hear a little bit more about Michigan State coming up. I did a few interviews yesterday, as Alex will tell you. And let's start out, listen to what Mark D'Antonio has to say about playing against Boise State.
I think when you look at Boise, you got to look at the history and the tradition of who they are and what they've been able to do over the course of time. This is a football team back when I was at Youngstown State. They were a 1AA at that point in time program, and went to the national championship game actually against Youngstown State. And, you know, Dirk Cutter took that program and moved it forward with guys Dan Hawkins coming behind there, and then obviously Chris Peterson now. But they've had tremendous success, and I would feel like they're going to have players that can play at that level. It's tough to say who's going to line up in terms of and how they're going to play. That's always what you don't know as a when you have a first-year player out there or a guy who hasn't started. But you see the remnants of who they were last year. And a lot of their players who were starting this year played last year. so including Southwick, their quarterback. So you see, you get a good feel for him as a quarterback. You see they can run the football, that he's composed in the pocket. They put him in crunch time in red zone situations. He delivers the ball well and on time, and they've got some receivers that catch the ball very effectively. Miller has 62 catches last year, and Burroughs and his brother are guys you're going to see throughout all over the football field. So they're extremely capable, and could be exciting to play against.
And yes, it should be very exciting. And one thing we do know, that Michigan State has a lot of ability in that team. So in their team. So what we'll talk about, see what Coach D'Antonio has to say about the ability of Michigan State.
I would say they're multiple is what I would term them as, but because they're going to make so many different formations out of all the different personnel groupings. They're going to be in unbalanced sets. They're going to run trick plays. They're going to be in empty sets and quads, four to one side and one on the back side. They're going to be in all different types of sets. And that's over the course of a season. So I'm sure that we're going to see things relative to a game, 70 plays or 65 or 70 or 80 plays or whatever it is. But they have the ability to go no huddle. They have the ability to get in two tight ends and sort of pound it in a two-back formation, using a fullback. They have a fullback back who was out last year, 260-pound fullback, and Dan Paul back. So they have a lot of different weapons really to use. And I guess what I would say about them is they're much like everybody we play, very well tied together schematically. They have a plan. They stick to their plan. They execute their plan. And they put you in space. They stretch you vertical. And they'll run the ball, especially the zone play and the power play and look the cutback things. But their tailback, Wright, is an exciting runner as well. They lost some great players last year, but they've got good players stepping up now.
And that's what Mark D'Antonio has to say about the ability of Boise State. Now has to say, what does he have to say about the ability of Michigan State's quarterback, Andrew Maxwell?
The message to him, I think, is, be yourself. Be yourself and, be who you are. He's a very calm, collected guy. He allows things to sort of run off his shoulders a little bit and get ready, and he always gets ready for the next challenge. He's got great athletic ability. He's got a great mind for the game, a very intelligent player, and he's got experience. So just be himself. This is his football team in that respect, and we have great faith in him. And, there's going to be a learning curve, and it's not always going to go the way you want it to go. Some of it may be your fault, some of it may be my fault or somebody else's, but we're all in this together, and I think it's an exciting time for him and his family and everybody in Midland, Michigan.
Coach, you're talking about
now we're going to also hear from Coach D'Antonio about Makaja Reynolds, from Lansing Sexton graduate. I asked him, how he feels about Makaja's right going up on the depth chart.
Where Makaja has come, really, he's been an offensive lineman, then defensive lineman, then back over the offense, and then back over the defense. But he's a guy that's been so athletic that we've kept trying to push him into a role, one side or the other. And, his youth at that point in time prevented him from knowing everything. And then he was switched a couple times. Right now, I think that he's had a tremendous summer camp. But he's a guy that, I've said it before, he verticals 33 inches. He benches 400-plus pounds. And, he runs about 4.95. He's a 300-pound guy. So, he's got ability. But what he's learned to do up front on defense, finally, is play with his hands and, play with his power and not sit and read. So he's much more engaged, I think, in terms of how he's playing the game. Ted Gill's done a great job with him, as well as Coach Narduzzi and the defensive staff. But I think right now he gets it, and that's what allowed him to sort of rise up the depth chart, because in the spring he wasn't in that capacity. But he's lost a little bit of weight. He was a little heavy. He was about 330s. Now he's 309. So, he's sort of got things under control right now. But it's going to be important that he play well. There's no question.
Yes, and that's a very, very complimentary of Mekaji Reynolds, the Lansing Sexton graduate who's got a scholarship and is here at Michigan State. And he's really come on this year, and he's really going to be you see him as a force on the defensive side of the football. Well, we asked Coach D'Antonio about the adjustments that they'll have to make to that Boise State team.
We have to adjust to the tempo of the football game. That's number one. You always have to do that defensively to an opposing team's offense. So whether you adjust to the rhythm of how fast the plays are coming in and how they're running them, whether it's no huddle or not, it's number one. I think you have to adjust to the speed of the game because it's game speed, the speed of their players, and you start to have to get a feel for who they are up front. With that being said, you know, our key, as I said earlier, is adjust, no mental errors, tackle well in space, pressure the quarterback, turnovers. And, you know, obviously you have to stop the run. So there's a whole gamut of things you have to do to be successful. But, you know, I, without question, you know, some of the ways that we have been critical to winning in our respect has been certain factors, and we won't really go into those right now, but we've got a whole line of factors for the last 5 years that if we do these things, we're successful. If we don't, we're mediocre.
Yes, and we also asked a chance to ask Mekaji Reynolds. We had a chance to talk with him, and I asked him what did Dan Bogan said when he told his old high school coach how he would fare in becoming a starter or a player.
Coach B, he just told me that he's really glad for me and happy that, you know, everything's starting to pick up. You know, he's been somebody that's been on my side since I got here. Him and Coach Davis, you know, and Coach McFadden, you know. He was a person that had a real big influence, and I think about him a lot when I'm playing out here because, you know, he always told me that, you know, that this would be possible and that that I had the ability. So it's kind of deep when I think about him and think about where I'm at now. I kind of wish he could be here to see it.
And also, Mekaji Reynolds also talked about his conditioning and how well he is conditioned right now.
What do you think?
I mean, it helped a lot. I came in and can't win 325, and I weighed 302 yesterday. So it's been a lot of hard work, but it's helped tremendously. Being able to move a lot better, my wind is a lot better, which I really, you know, you gotta have when playing on defense. But you know, it's been a tremendous help. And Coach Manny and his staff this summer, man, they did an awesome job helping me out, coming in, doing extra cardio, doing different things, pushing me just with all the different conditioning and strength training that we did. So,
yes, and we talked to Andrew Maxwell as well, and Andrew says he is ready for the game coming up Friday night.
Not really. You know, it's been a long process. It's been a process where I've learned a lot. I've enjoyed the process. But now that it's finally here, it feels like game time, and I'm ready to go, and this team's ready to go.
Yes, and also he talked about how comfortable he is in the system.
And I've gotten a lot more comfortable with it. At first, it was kind of a shock and something that I really wasn't prepared for or comfortable with. But I've gotten more comfortable with you guys, and it's not so bad. You guys are all right.
And talking about he's going to have to do a lot of interviews, and he'll get used to it, talking to the media and, you know, giving that information out. We'll pass it on to you, the fans. So you'll hear a lot from Andrew Maxwell this year. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening today. We've had a lot of information. We've got Alex. We've given the folks a lot of information. They will have some more information tomorrow. You'll hear from Dave Warner tomorrow as well. You'll hear from Max Bulla as well, and Benny Fowler, and you'll hear from Fo Finuti, offensive lineman, and so also you'll hear from Mekaji Reynolds one more time. So we got a lot more stuff to still bring you before we get to Friday night's game. I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. Make sure you turn in to Channel 6 tonight, WLS-TV, and watch Fred Newman and the sports program on Michigan State at 7 o'clock tonight on WLNS-TV. Once again, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. So we want you to make sure you come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870, WKAR East Lansing, Michigan State University Radio. Make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and we'll hear from you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.